Welcome to Coast, good to be back, especially after a big win, and that's what the boys had at Optus Stadium, of course, in the Derby. 11 straight Derbies, better than a big loss in Geelong the previous week. But to talk about the Derby and to talk about all things footy on Coast to Coast with our stars, Hammer Brayshaw, Hamish, and also, of course, Oscar Allen, who was one of the stars of that win. First of all, we're doing this COVID safe. Where are you, Hammer?
Goss, first of all, good to be back. Second of all, I am about 30 feet away from you in the television studio to your left, I think.
Okay, I'm in the radio studio. And where are we behind you, Oscar?
Yeah, Matt, I'm in the bunker. Nah, I'm in our sleep room, our club sleep room at the moment. Yeah, I'm about 10 metres underneath you, and I've been stitched up. You guys are in great recording studios.
I'm in a perfect studio, and you're in the sleep room. Just quickly, before we get going, funny story about the sleep room. I reckon 2 years ago, when we first moved out to Lathlane, I rolled in at about 7:30 for a waffle preview, and we should have a 24/7 security guard looking after the premises, and I went into the sleep room, because I was here about an hour early, might just lie down for a little bit, and the security guard was asleep in there, and I reckon he'd been sleeping all night. Anyway, welcome to the sleep room, Oz.
That is one of the all-time great stories you've revealed to our Coast to Coast audience. Brilliant. Let's dissect last week. But before we do it, Hammer, you were down in Mandra when all this was unfolding. Did you get back in time for the game?
I got back about halfway through the second quarter.
Okay.
So it was a genuine shootout up until halftime. So I was listening to it on the radio and then watched the back half on the telly.
And what was the trip to Mandra like?
As good as any trip to Mandra is, Goss. Rubbish. We lost by 79 points, I think, in the end, the Waffle Boys. And we need to find something because we're 0-4 and we need yet to hit our straps. But season's young. The season's
absolutely
young.
Absolutely. Hang in there. It was a shootout, Oscar, and you were part of that shootout, of course, and you played predominantly down back early. But may we say, what was it like? It was just pinging around, and as I did see some very fancy work, it was an Irby. There was no D, they reckon, for the first half.
Yeah, very good. You're spot on right there. Especially early, it was whoever got it out the middle, it felt like they were going to kick a goal. And both defences probably weren't playing as well as they could have. And I think in the second half, definitely our midfielders stepped up and probably helped to protect our backline a little bit. And our forwards were really efficient as well. So great result by the boys. And to get the 4 points in the game, which I'm not sure what the betting market said, gamble responsibly, but I would have thought it'd be a pretty closely thought to be final game.
It was by the start of the game. It was unbelievably the disparity between the two prices and gamble responsibly. We were long odds on all week, and then all of a sudden the injuries, and then Bunga couldn't get up, and then this, that, and the other unfolded. It was almost an even money game by the end. By the time the opening bounce started,
yeah, the late mail came for the Purple Army. But no, it was a shootout, Oz. I thought. And with some pretty straight kicking as well, the scores were ballooning out. I thought we were going to see one of the all-time great scores, but we wrestled it back in the second half, or wrestled it even more away from him in the second half, and they were really couldn't hold with us. So it was a good game.
At ground level, Ham, it felt like it all started from our midfielders. Obviously, TK with the great performance. Gaffey played really well.
We'll touch on that later on.
Watching the game from home, is that what it looked like?
I only listened to the first half online, so it was on the radio, so it was tough. All I was really hearing was Andrew had about 15 touches in the first 5 minutes, thought he was going to have 100. It definitely sounded like the game was sort of going back and forth and ping-ponging a bit in their first half. And then watching it in the second half, our mids just sort of stood up and really put the screws on them and from the centre and just got it going our way, and the forwards did their job. So, on the TV, it definitely looked like the mids sort of stepped up and lifted.
Secondly, Ham, obviously your brother, Andy, plays for Freo.
He does.
You're wanting us to win, but you want him to have 30.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ross, the Glendening Allen medal, which obviously went to Tim Kelly, that's all you can hope for. You hope that he goes out and has, 50 touches and wins the medal, which he looked like he was going to do pretty early on, and that we win. So, in the end, it was a pretty good result for my end of the Brayshaw household. A West Coast win, and Andrew played pretty well. So, it's the best of both worlds.
He played very, very well. He got one vote from former Fremantle Docker, of course, in Lee Spur, which surprised many. And I thought he played very, very well. But the question would be, surely there were six or seven other better West Coast Eagles than Andrew.
I agree. I think there definitely was. But I think it was a little bit of Freo bias going his way. And you take the rub of the coin sometimes.
Like you that. Certainly do. Hey, Oscar, you seem to, and I say this in the politest possible way, it looked like it was a bit chaotic down back for a while, in particular for you and trying to find your spot. But you went to Tabana after he got off the chain early. But he got off the chain purely because, as you talked about, that free ball that was coming in through the midfield dominance for both teams. You did a job on Tabana. And that punch, where you punched the ball about 40 metres late in the first half, which set up a goal, it certainly lifted the team in the second half. What was it like? Did you enjoy going with an absolute job to play on Tabana?
Yeah, it was interesting. I probably haven't played back or trained with a back line since early 2019, so it wasn't really a role that I'd touched on much. But thankfully, we had Harry Edwards down there with us as well, and I thought we worked pretty well as a cohesive unit in the first half and got the tap on the shoulder probably halfway through the second quarter to go on to Tabana after he kicked his third, and thought I did a reasonable job, but a lot of the credit has to go to the midfielders. I think the supply he had in the second half definitely wasn't as good as it was
Don't
earlier.
Don't sell yourself short, mate. You did the job on him and held him to crackers after that. You were very, very good.
Thanks, mate.
And I remember, Ozzy, we were talking a little bit earlier on in the week that you were probably going to have to go and play down back. And that we were speaking about all the positions that you've technically started as, and I think you've just about covered off every position on the ground as a starting player.
Yeah, so I've started off full forward in the square,
yep.
Centre half forward, all around the forward line. I've started off full back, all around the back line, obviously in the ruck.
Yep.
At times, cool. I've been the plus one to go back, so I've started on a wing with the new 6-6-6 rules.
You're technically
so I've played
a winger.
So I'm just waiting for the old Nick Natanui early in his career tap. You go play inside mid while Dean Cox rucks. I'll be the Nick Nat. Nick Nat can be the Dean Cox of that situation.
Yeah, inside mid's the only spot that Ozzie Allen hasn't ticked off yet.
Might need a little bit of a tan and grow my hair a bit longer, but I can play the Nick Nat role.
Exactly.
Now, let's dissect a couple of other players in that team. First of all, let's dissect Bunga's late withdrawal because of that calf complaint. Blew up at the captain's run. There was the big week. There was the video presentation. Coxie was on every media outlet talking about handing over the baton, and it didn't happen. What sort of blow was it to the playing group, Oscar?
It was a really late blow, to be honest. I was actually going to start forward at 9:30 on the day before the game, and obviously Bunga did his calf and some structures and rotations would change, but really disappointing. And I think the person that will be most disappointed will be Bunga, not for the fact that he missed the game, but the fact he'll have to go through all that media once again. And he absolutely hates doing media, so he's going to get stitched up with having to do press conferences again in a week or two whenever he gets back. But really disappointing. But he will break it eventually. He'll play 300 games and he'll be fine.
From the it was funny. I heard a few of the boys' reports coming out of the team meeting where they showed his games package, the highlight reel, and there was a lot of confused faces as to what year it actually happened in, because in every year, you know, from when he started to now, he just looks the exact same. The only real difference is the logo on the jumper. How did you find it, Ozzy? Could you pick the year that he was in?
Mate, logo and camera quality, the only differences between 2005 and 2021.
Between 18-year-old and 30-year-old Bunga.
Very true.
He was 18 at age 6.
Jones, our man, Jermaine Jones. Last man picked, to quote Adam Simpson, in for O'Neill, forward for a mid. It was an interesting mix. It paid off. He was outstanding.
Yep, he carried over his waffle form. I said it in the pod in the waffle show a couple of weeks ago. He just looks so dynamic and lively around the footy, and brings so much energy and zip around the contest. And he definitely brought that to the game on the weekend. I thought he was really, really good.
He did. That's probably the one thing we've been wanting to get from him. His waffle form's been terrific, and it's really hard to translate waffle form to senior level form. But he managed to do that on the weekend, and I think it all started with his defensive actions, which allowed him to get into the game and perform
absolutely.
Really well.
Exactly
very
right.
much so, very much so. In regards to no crowds, I mean, you had to warm up with masks and you went out on the ground and you sung the song with masks, you did the team photo with masks and that sort of stuff. And it is an optic look and to do the right thing as well. What's it like out there, genuinely, Oscar? I know no crowds is not new, but it was a derby no crowd at that stadium. What was it like?
It gives a bit of a different atmosphere, really. Sometimes you forget that all the cameras are on you and a lot of people are watching. It almost feels like you're just having to run around the park and no one else is is watching or really caring what you're doing. But the best thing about it is a lot of guys, you ask them, it's really hard to communicate on game day, especially playing in the back line this weekend. Communication is pretty important. And you can hear clearly, I can hear JK talking to Jack Darling about their forward 50 setups on the other side of the ground because there's not a pin drop in the whole stadium. So it makes it quite a humorous situation when someone's bagging out the umpires or one of their teammates or someone's lipping off someone else. We can hear it from the other side of the field, so it's always interesting.
Courtesy of Useless AFL Stats, here's some gold for you. The West Coast Eagles broke an AFL record in the Derby. Six players with a Christian name starting with the same initial, kicking multiple goals. Not a goal, multiple goals. Jack Darling, Josh Kennedy, Jamie Cripps, Jermaine Jones, Jake Waterman, Jared Brander. Six with the Christian name starting with J is an AFL record for multiple goals.
One of the great sites, Useless AFL Stats, are one of the great pages. It just delivers a couple of gems, and there you go, six Christian name starting with J. Jeepers.
And Dead said, one of the most useless stats you'll ever find.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So well done. They've nailed the criteria there. Yeah.
100%. Glendinning Allen medal voting. We're going to talk about that in a brief moment. But that does pale into insignificance when it comes to the Hammer Time votes. Now, we're going to get to the votes later. It's pretty obvious which way we're going to go with the three votes, surely.
Oh, I can't give it away, but
oh,
I think
please.
It's it. Nah, I've got written in my, just a little prelude, I've got written in my votes down here, there is one vote, there is two votes, there is daylight, and then there's three votes. So I think you can pick it up where we're going, but yeah, absolutely.
What did
Didn't
you make
realize
of
you were such a big fan of a lockdown centre-half back hammer. Thank you.
Well, you are in commit. You are right in the
there
mix, of course, for the Hammer Time votes. I've got a, for those who don't know, well, you two blokes don't know, I've actually put a hammer in to be mounted for a trophy for the end of the season award.
Well, there you go. Hopefully we'll find that one at the maybe at the pre-drinks for the end
the
of the
John.
For those of you at home that don't know, throughout the season, blokes re-sign their contracts and put in clauses for best and fairest voting. Perhaps they'll have Hammer Time voting. If I win the Hammer Time, 3 years gets extended out for another.
And I'll split the profits with you and I'll just give you three votes every week.
What did you make of the non-15-metre call, Swans versus Geelong? A lot of people believe a bit of karma for the Cats after the Blixarves calls against the Lions a couple of weeks before that. It was definitely 15 metres. In fact, it's been measured as 21.5 metres, that call that was described as not 15. What did you make of it?
There've been a lot of questionable not 15s, I think, and for the fact that I think it was Matty Nichols called it 5 metres up into the air, and you know, you're just screaming not 15, not 15, not 15. And was it Jeremy Cameron that took the mark?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, he sort of played it pretty dumb. I couldn't have been any louder that it wasn't. He called it not 15 and play on. But yeah, I mean, you can't. I don't think you can call that 15. That's not what the rules there for, to call it 5 metres in the air. Just and anyway.
It had to be touched. He could have only yelled out touch. That's the only time you yell.
It's a tough situation. I know he's probably, in hindsight, shouldn't have called it so early play on, but I respect the fact that once he called it play on, he continued with it.
Yeah,
I think it would have been more uproar if he called play on. Actually, no, that's gone 15. Yeah, I'll pay the mark.
Yeah, pay the mark. I'm not sure if it's correct or not, but I have this memory. The grass cuttings on the ground, the squares that they cut out, are they 15 metres? Are they meant to indicate to the umpire that it's 15 metres? 10, right.
Yeah, 10 metres.
10 metres, yeah. Okay, well... Yeah, that anyway, I thought it was 15.
But interesting enough, Dean Maher gets who umpired the Derby. I've asked him about that. I said, can you see that at ground level when you're umpiring? He said, you can see it, but it's not as obvious as us sitting up in the stand looking down and seeing it measured.
Of course, sure.
Do you see it on the ground? Oscar, can you notice the shades of grey and shades of grass?
No, that is one of the more irrelevant things, I reckon, as a footballer playing that you'll never take notice of.
Yeah, I mean, the umpires might be taking a closer look at it, considering it helps him out a little bit, but yeah.
Now, if he'd been paid the mark, he would have had to go back on the angle, siren would have sounded, he still had a very low percentage chance of kicking the goal, albeit it was on his favoured side on the left boot, Jeremy Cameron.
Well, what's the new rule? You're allowed to...
So you are allowed
to come out.
You're allowed to come out, but you have to kick it in line. So, say the line is straight back, so we can start close to the boundary line and walk towards the goal mouth and kick it on the line.
Yeah, right on. Gotcha.
Like, what's the line? He takes one step too far by accident, doesn't get it on the exact mark.
Yeah. It is tough. Know. Yep. Very good questions.
For those listening to our Coast to Coast podcast, I'm in the radio studio. Hammer is in the TV studio and Oscar is in the sleep room. Does anyone actually sleep in the sleep room, Oscar? Give us an insight into what it's like to be in the sleep room.
Apart from the security guard.
Occasionally. I think more so in the preseason it's used because we have longer days and really tough training sessions in the morning and it's so hot, so guys get a little bit of recovery here and there. But during the season, everyone's kind of a little bit busier and rushed through. So he might train, and then you're watching your vision from the weekend or catching up with the senior coach to chat about team performance or your own performance. So you don't really have an hour or so just to sit at home and chill out.
Was this mentioned, and it's one of the great stats of all time, that we have lost just one game in the last 4 years when we have won, or you have won, the contested possession count.
There's another useless AFL stat.
Yeah, that's another useless stat, but it was mentioned after the game and probably a little bit of a barometer of how we're going as a side. If we win the contested ball, we win the game generally.
I think it's, yeah, it got to do with the quality of forwards you get. You win the contested ball, you're more often than not winning a clearance and getting it forward. And the blokes that we've got up there, albeit you were playing down back this week, Oz, but when you get it in the forward line, it's you score goals as the West Coast Eagles. So it's definitely the barometer.
Four states, four teams, Tom Hickey, best on ground for Sydney. Isn't his journey just continuing on? Of course, a big part of that was here at the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, just a trooper. He's a four-club man. I remember playing with him at the Sandringham Zebras when he was at St Kilda. Couldn't get a game in the ruck and was sort of in and out, and then started playing some really good footy and then came and joined over here and obviously got a little bit lucky with, you know, Nick not playing and just sort of came into his own. And now he's gone to Sydney and he's dominating. He's, you know, he's in the conversation, I think, as one of the best informed ruckmen in the game at the moment, the way he's going about it. So he gets the ball, he kicks goals, he gets clearances, he, you know, wins hit-outs. He's all over the place. So a journeyman. And I think he's, you know, he's just hitting his straps.
A genuine journeyman. And yeah. One of the ruckmen that have really taken advantage of this holding the ball rule from grabbing the ball out the ruck.
Oh, yeah, gosh, absolutely.
Every single stoppage he tries to do it, and it works really well for him. Also, Sydney's club doctors might have the best doctors in the world. He's done a PCL injury with his knee. He's missing 8 to 10 weeks, and he's back the next week and getting 3 votes. Buddy, bone bruising, he's supposed to miss a month. He's supposedly back this week. Yeah. I'm not sure what they've got in the water up there, but I want some of that.
Yeah, shoulder yours, Oz.
He's in a bit of form, exactly right. Is Tom Hickey. Well, Tommy Barris, of course, he didn't play in the Derby, unfortunately, but his brother did, and he nailed 4 sausages up for it in his PSA team. So there is a goalkeeper in the family.
Yeah. Little Ted, or not so little Ted. He's a pretty big boy, young Ted. Yeah, booting 4 in the PSA, not too bad, mate, yourself.
4.5, too, in a tell-all. In the second half alone, all 4.
Well, was he playing down back in the first half, or was he just a bit quiet early?
Yeah, I can't say. It'd be a great story if he was down back early. Yeah. I think TB's done it a couple times back at East Perth when we were aligned with him. He's gone forward to kick a match-winning score for us at times when he wasn't getting a run in the seniors. But I reckon Tommy would be a really, really good forward to himself.
Can't wait for the day that TB goes up forward and kicks a goal. It'll bring the house down.
The switcheroo.
It will bring the house down. But yeah, 4 goals to young Ted. Good on him.
All righty. It is time. Glendinning Allen medal voting. So let's just clarify all of that. So it was 3-3-3. We know that it was Tim Kelly, 3. Andrew Gaff, he picked up 2-2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 3 ones, including... Have you spoken to your brother? I want to know. I know it's an Eagles podcast, but surely you've spoken to... Yep. And what did he say about getting the one vote? And has he got the chest out? Was he sort of looking for 1A on the trip over to the Gold Coast?
No, I haven't. I haven't spoken to him about the Glendinning, the medal votes. I spoke to him about the game, but I think the way he's going at the moment, I think he'll be certainly thinking for a business class trip over to Brisbane. Absolutely. I'm not sure how many they get on these charter flights, but I think it'd go Dave Mundy, Nathan Fife, and then he'd just be puffing the chest out and sitting himself, plonking himself right in 1A.
Well deserved.
Go Dave Mundy, Nathan Fife, and then Nathan Fife's portrait of himself in seat 2A.
Oh, yeah.
In a tell-all.
Unbelievable. Bringing a painting of himself over East for 2 weeks. Goodness me. I mean, the greats just do something different, I think.
Bizarre areas, real bizarre areas.
Yeah, I mean, if you've won 2 Brownlows, I'd probably have a painting of myself in my room as well.
Just in summary, let's close off the Derby because we do have to focus about the next journey. But Oscar, just the difference between winning and losing when you come back to the footy club. Give the listeners on Coast to Coast. It's an obvious one. I get it. You got thumped by Geelong. You dissected it. You try and move on. You can't dwell on it on a Tuesday. But here we are talking about a win on a Wednesday when we're putting this podcast together. But just tell us about the mood inside the group from the difference about flying back from Geelong after getting your pants pulled down to winning a Derby in front of no fans. Just give us an insight.
It's a really good question. I think the most important part of it is not necessarily the win or the loss, but the way you win or lose. So we're really big on being process based and not outcome based. And AFL footy is a tough game. And sometimes you'll play really well and you might go down by a goal to a really good side. And you say, look, we played our style of footy. We played with spirit and we brought energy to the game and we were just beaten on the day by a better side. And sometimes you have to accept that. But the way we played against Geelong, it was more of a, all right, what's going on here? We need to chat through how we're feeling, not just on field, but what are we doing away from the club? Are we playing our roles and do we trust each other? And we really went back to that this week. And I think from a viewer standpoint, it looked like a side that really trusted each other. We had some soldiers out, some of our best players out, and everyone stood up and played their role.
Yeah. I think from my time at the club, one of the best things about Simo and the coaching staff is the way they handle wins and losses. You feel like after about Tuesday, if you play on, you know, the weekend's game, after Tuesday, it just feels there's no real difference in, you know, the way that the weekend's result. Obviously, you review on the Monday and you do your own individual stuff for the first couple of days, but sort of, you know, mid to the back end of the week, it's the same stuff. You are process driven, so there isn't, after a couple of days, there isn't much of a difference whether you win or lose. And I think that's what's really good about this footy club and lets you bounce back from losses like the Geelong one really quickly.
Certainly does. All righty, here we go. We've got the Glendinning Allen medal votes out the way. It's time for...
Welcome back. The Hammer Time votes. I have mentioned and given a little foreshadowing into the three-vote getter into this week. There was daylight between three and two. I will start with the one vote. Now, this man... He played a cracking game, I thought. It was just incredible down back. He's second in the competition for marks currently. And that might be a little bit the way the West Coast boys move the ball in the back line. But he intercepted on the weekend. The way he rebounded off halfback, I thought he was incredible. And the one vote for mine goes to Josh Rotham.
The Rothman. Well deserved.
The Rothman. Yeah, I thought very
really
well deserved. And then... and now we move into the twos and the threes. The two votes, another pretty clear one, 2-2-2 in the Glendinning Allen medal voting, Andrew Gaff. Another incredible performance from the man. He just finds the footy. He runs so hard. His work rate is top class of the AFL. And this bloke just keeps ticking along and doesn't look like he's ever going to stop. So, you know, he's a very clear two-vote getter. Ozzy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, once again, agree with that. He was probably criticised early in the year and has been a pretty good run of form since then. So, and he's one of our more consistent players, so it doesn't really surprise
me. And sunk the slipper into it from pretty close to 50.
Didn't realise the big fella had that have in his legs anymore, but good on him.
No, it was a very, very good kick. And now the
that's Andrew Gaff.
That's Andrew Gaff, yes. Andrew Gaff, two votes. Now the three votes absolutely brained the competition. Mm. 42 disposals, 9 tackles, 22 contested possessions, 13 score involvements, 33 pressure acts, leads the comp in pressure acts, 13 clearances, 6 of them centre bounce clearances, and 5 inside 50s for one of the great games of our time. Wow. Three votes, Tim Kelly. And I think that's just a no questions asked right there. Just a dead rubber of a three-voter.
Yeah, beast. Awesome game from him. And obscurely, 0 marks.
Yeah, incredible.
He's going back over the mark, the big fella. Just loves getting handball receives and working hard to get the footy. But that's why we got him here, to do things like that and to win his games, which he did on the weekend.
Yep, absolutely. It was a midfield battle in the first half, and he really swung the ledger to the West Coast favour in the second half.
AFL record for most disposals, no marks in a game, and the most disposals in a derby, beating that of Chad Fletcher from 2004. Chaddy picked up 41 on that day.
There you go. Well done to Tim, an incredible game. Now we'll head to the leaderboard. There has been a bit of movement in the leaderboard. Start with the one voters, Hearn, Kennedy, Shuey, JD and Rotham on one vote. On two votes, Sheed and McGovern. On three votes, Nick, Petch and Redo. Tim Kelly moves up to 5 votes, and with 3 leaders on the 6 votes, until someone dethrones you, Ozzy, I'll keep leading with you, 6 votes Oscar Allen, 6 votes Tom Barras, and 6 votes Andrew Gaff, much like his Glendinning Allen. He's gone 2-2-2. And that's your leaderboard episode 7.
Still got the speech, you two adding to the speech, Oscar, each week?
I think the last couple of weeks I've started to get a little bit nervous and look over my shoulder. But as Hammer said, early in the year, he's a big goal man. He loves goals. So I'll be looking to, if I am playing back this week, sprint up the wing and try and get on the end of a couple.
Yeah, try and get on the end of a couple. Well, I couldn't really, I mean, there were a few honourable mentions. JD was an honourable mention, kicked a few goals, but I couldn't really reward. I didn't feel like 3 was enough to reward with goals this week, considering we kicked over 20. So... It was a mixed bag this week, but I think a pretty clear 3-2 and then 1.
Yeah, absolutely. More on the Hawthorn clash. We've got some breaking news in regards to what's taking place at Hawthorn in the lead-up to our game with them on Sunday. But let's get the unsung hero out the way with a bit of background music. Oscar?
Yeah, so this week was obviously a great team performance, and games like this, it's hard to pick one person out. Obviously, you've got your superstars that play really well week in, week out. But there's also guys that step up. Like Hammer said, for the Hammer Time voting, there are a lot of honourable mentions. Obviously, Jermaine Jones coming into the side, playing really well. Roth down back. But for me, this week, it's Nathan Vardy.
Yeah, nice.
Came off early in the game with a really, really sore foot. Fought through it all day, finished his work with a nice goal, and I thought backed up Nick really well and played a vital role for us to get the win.
Yep,
nice work. Good on your
Very
Vards
well
taking
done.
Out the award. Just in regards to Hawthorn, I've just been alerted, and this will be taking place, and people would see it on socials through Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday. The 1991 Premiership players of Ayres, Tuck, Pritchard and Gowers are meeting at Waverley Park to celebrate the 30-year reunion of beating the West Coast Eagles on grand final day at Waverley. Of course, that was the last one played at before it went back to the MCG.
Yep.
Interesting enough, what will be there? The Batmobile. So the Batmobile,
what on earth is the Batmobile doing there?
Batmobile, well, so that was Rose Tattoo. Angry Anderson came out and sang. If you go Google it, look at Angry Anderson Batmobile 1991, and he sang. It was horrible. It was horrible TV. The Batmobile actually was put up on auction about a month ago and sold for $10,000. The actual Batmobile that was on grand final day in 1991, and the Batmobile will be returning to Waverley Park on this Thursday, as a promotion for the 1991 Hawthorn win. If you haven't seen it, you've got to get onto the Google and have a look at and the YouTubius as well. The Batmobile.
I'll be honest, Goss. You've lost me there. I'm perplexed. I'm not sure what's happening.
I'm all over the shop. The 1991 Batmobile at Waverley Park this Thursday.
Pre-game entertainment, Oscar.
Yep, I understood. Be there.
I hate to be a dampener, but I don't think they'll be big on the socials this weekend, if I'm honest.
It will be on there. You've shot me down a few times. I'm telling you now, our listeners would know the Batmobile, the famous Batmobile. I'm not going on about it. Hey, when you were down at down in Mandurah taking on Peel the other day, yes. Was Scully talking smack?
As much smack as he always talks. He talks trash with the best of them, old Scully, but I think it is a lot easier when they're winning by so much. I think it was that he did sort of have a couple of words here and there early, but then when it was sort of getting out to, 50-plus points, he sort of thought it was almost a little bit embarrassing and almost didn't want to kick us while we were down anymore. But, he did. He does talk a little bit of trash, but all in fun, all in good fun.
Hey, let's get to the MCG. It's a rare trip to the MCG. It is very hard for our WA teams to get on the MCG, but we get the Hawks there. What's your best MCG memory, boys?
Gee whiz. I'll give you a little bit of time to think about it, Oz, because you've played there. I haven't. I have, however, been to a few grand finals there, and I remember the 2013 grand final, Hawthorn v Fremantle. I went and was supporting Fremantle on the day, but we were sat behind, me and my brother and a couple of his friends, were sat behind these people that were diehard Freo fans that flew over from Perth. I thought it was a funny idea to tell them that I'd been on the bus that had driven over from Freo to Melbourne. And I was just fingers crossed they weren't on the bus too, because I just can't imagine you wouldn't remember everyone on that bus. But that was probably my favourite MCG memory, just sort of speaking to these people for the better part of three quarters of footy, just sort of telling them about how, my first time in Melbourne, I've been over on the bus, and thought it was a very fun game until the end of the game when Freo lost and then we went home and parted ways. But yeah, that's probably my favourite Freo memory, lying to these people about being a diehard Freo fan from living in Subiaco and getting on the bus and coming over to Melbourne.
Very good, very good. Yeah. I have a couple. So playing there, my first game there was actually for the under-18s All-Stars game, and it used to be the trial game before the grand final. So it was morning of grand final day. I think I was 17 at the time, and I played that game and sat. And it was in 2017, and I sat in the crowd afterwards and watched Richmond play Adelaide in that really famous game that I suppose kick-started this dynasty that Richmond have. And I remember sitting next to Paddy Nash, who's obviously plays for the Tigers now, and his dad's a famous Richmond man, and they're a big Richmond family. And after the game, his dad coming down crying tears of joy, with his son, because he's obviously been at Richmond his whole life, and experiencing that ultimate high was pretty amazing to see.
Yeah, just quickly on Paddy Nash, I reckon he played about 4 minutes on the weekend.
Yeah.
Koch came off in the last, and he kicked. He had that really good little setup that, you know, linked to a goal, and the whole team got around him. He chased down someone and laid a tackle and got up and delivered inside 50. But, yeah, pretty hard work for 3 minutes of game time.
Yeah, well done, Paddy.
Good on you, Nashie.
Playing-wise, we had a good win against Hawthorn, actually. Cripper kicked a goal with about a minute to go to win the game in 2019, so that was probably the best playing memory I have.
Was that was that raining?
Yeah, it was raining.
Was that the one Boots had like 50 in the second half?
Yeah, he had 28 in the second half.
Yeah, one of the great finishes. Yeah, it was a very good game. That was a great game.
Paddy Nash was actually, he got the Powerade. He was part of that.
What, he got the... Oh,
yeah, they put him in.
The Powerade. Yeah. Why? Oh, good on him.
I think they were just taking the mickey out of him for the very reason he was...
jumping for 3 minutes at the end.
Sorry, Oscar. Oscar's still trying to get his head around the Batmobile.
Yeah, the Batmobile.
My memory, can I just share you really quickly? My famous memory.
Of course, yeah, go.
Thank you very much. Was the 2005 grand final, the first one that we lost very narrowly to Sydney. I was on the boundary line working for Channel 10, and I walked out to the huddle. I was covering the Eagles end. Neil Cordy was covering the Sydney end, and Christy Malthouse was the rose between two thorns. And I walked out to the huddle, and when you're doing the boundary as a boundary rider, you can't hear a thing. You never hear a thing. You don't know what's going on. You just make up stuff, right? Anyway, I was walking out there, and I got within about 20 metres of the huddle, and I actually stopped, and I turned around, and I went, I'm actually on the MCG on grand final day with a crowd of 90-odd thousand, and then I was there the following year when the boys won. I mean, it was a pinch-me moment for a bloke that had been around for a while. I was very, very lucky. And it was your grandfather, Hammer, that gave me the opportunity to get there. And I'm forever indebted to your grandfather, Sixie Brasher, one of the all-time good people. But it was a great pinch-me moment.
Yeah, I probably should have thought of this a little bit harder, but I also went on the ground after the 2018 grand final, and that was something special. Walking through all the confetti and, it was just, that was something, one of the great moments of all time, that, and then followed by a tremendous night.
Yeah, upon reflection, probably that day when I was emergency for grand final day, and I warmed up on the field with the boys and was on the sideline as the game started and was close to playing. That was actually, I scrap everything I said. That was the best day.
Yeah, scrap.
That was the best
absolutely.
Day.
What beats the Hawks, Oscar? What are you going to do? Because that's the message that Simo and everyone who has spoken since the Derby has said. There's no point winning the Derby well and bouncing back to form here at home if you go back there and it all unravels again. You've just got to take that same intensity, yeah?
Yeah, intensity and consistency and in preparation and performance. That's all we need to do, and we need to do it together as a team. So hopefully I'll be on next week saying how well we did that and how we won by 10 goals again. Yeah,
exactly right. No, it's a big bounce, a big, big game this week to really stamp ourselves again.
Before we go out, we can't go, and you're on your own today, Oscar. It's time for this.
Yes. The mystery player, guess who? Ozzy, you're on your own today in the sleep room, so you don't even... Can you see my face in there?
I can see yours. Can you see mine?
No, I can't see anything. So you can read my facial clues, but I won't be able to read anything off you. So it's... we're away, mate. The mystery player, 1 to 10 clues for those who don't know. They get easier as you go along, and you've got to guess... Ozzy's got to guess a player on our... A current player on our list. So we'll start with our pretty generic question. He is over 25 years old, is the first clue.
Okay, thank you.
Got it. Thank you very much. Clue number two, he prefers his eggs scrambled.
I'm a scrambled man myself, so this
hits
mine.
Yeah, so am I. And the reason being is you just get more out of a scrambled egg, I find.
You do. Yeah. You're telling me...
the same price and you just get more
eggs,
out of
two
it.
Two scrambled eggs.
I feel like they put a bit of milk in there. They put, you just get more out of it. Anyway, he
besides
prefers his eggs scrambled.
Yeah.
Beside the point.
Thank you.
Your third clue. He's the 199th West Coast Eagle player.
I feel like that's a big clue.
What number? Do you remember what number you are?
No, I don't.
I think I'm 256 or 255. I was.
That helps me. I'm going to take a stab here if I may.
Go for it, mate.
And I'm going to say, is it Dom Sheed?
It is not Dom Sheed. You've guessed Dom Sheed a few times, I think.
He's due.
He is due. And just before we move on, I couldn't get Lex as a reference on this one because she saw me Googling a few stats, so I knew who it was. But anyway, that's beside the point again. The fourth clue, Oz, Prison Break is his favourite TV show.
I'm a great Prison Break man myself.
Yeah, you do love it. A bit of length to think about you. You want to have a guess, or are you going? Yep, the fifth clue. Hayes played the 16th most amount of games for the West Coast Eagles.
The 16th most in our history?
Yes.
Is it Jack Darling?
It is not Jack Darling. We move on to the sixth. Post-game meal is Meat Lover's Pizza.
It's Andrew Gaff.
It's Andrew Gaff. Well done. You got it after six. Yep. A dead giveaway. Cambridge Pizza post-game. Meat Lover's Pizza. It's Gaffy special. The next few clues for those playing along at home were he's an All-Australian. Number eight was if he could live anywhere in Australia, not Perth, he would live in Noosa. He has had 40-plus disposals three times in an AFL game. And if that didn't give it away, cricket is his favourite sport to watch outside of football. So well done, Oz. You got it in six.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks.
Very well done.
I think he's played one less game than JD, so I knew I was around the mark at that 220, I think they played.
Right around the mark. I wonder who the 200th player is, if Gaffey was the 199th. And that's a good question. If they debut on the same, because I'm pretty sure they debuted the same round in their first year.
Round one.
Who gets?
It's done by letter.
Done by letter, Okay, so Gaffey would be.
First name or last name?
Last name.
I would imagine it's last name. So Oscar, JD, you're 243. I've just done the stats. I've just gone to AFL
JD
tables.
JD would be 198. A couple of really good useless AFL stats in the show today. I'll just leave you on one. I saw this after I played my first game last year. Useless AFL stat. I'm the first West Coast Eagle on debut to have the same fantasy points as their jumper number.
That's a great stat.
Stat. Jamie Cripps did it. But he did it at St Kilda, so that he had. I think he was 35 at St Kilda and had 35 AFL fantasy points. But the big number 22. Thanks for coming.
Nice work.
Another useless AFL stat to round it out.
We have had plenty of them, and I do apologise. But if you haven't Googled Batmobile,
go on and YouTube Batmobile.
Yeah, it's in vogue. It was there in the 91 Grand Final. Oscar, good luck over there at the MCG. Well played from the Derby. Hammer, where are we playing? Where's the West Coast boys playing?
We're at Shark Park on Saturday against
Esperanto. That's a winnable game.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed.
Don't forget, you can watch the Waffle, the live stream of the West Coast Waffle, taking on East Fremantle at Shark Park. Steve Thumper Bandy's at the controls this week. Get behind our boys in the Waffle and also in the AFL. That has been Coast to Coast. We do it again next week.